Hey y'all, we are going to now turn to the Gospel of Mark, and I wanted to give a brief introduction to the Gospel. And the first thing I want to think about is, why are there four Gospels? In the history of Christianity, there have been a lot of people who have taken the Gospels and tried to reconcile them. In other words, put everything that is all in all of them together and create sort of one Gospel. But why in God's sovereignty have we been given four? I think the first thing to say is we need four perspectives on Jesus. In Scripture it says that wherever two or three are gathered, everything must be established by two or three witnesses. In the case of Jesus and his life, we have four witnesses because we need four angles. We need at least four angles. Think about how we need, or in many areas of life, we like lots of points of input. So just with music, we like music to be in stereo or to have it on both sides. So it's sort of an amplification of the subject matter when we have four. But then four is a very important biblical number. So if you think about it from the beginning, there are four rivers that flow from the Garden of Eden. The Scripture uses this language of the four corners of the earth. And four represents a couple things. It represents sort of a completion, but it also represents a building. If you think about it, all buildings are on right angles, and your most basic structures have literally four corners. So it represents sort of the building structure of the world or of the temple. And the idea here is that in having four Gospels, we're given sort of, as it were, the four pillars that make stable the story, the testimony of Jesus Christ and who he is. One other sort of angle on the four is that for a long time, Christians have paid attention to the living creatures that Ezekiel sees in the opening chapters of Ezekiel that have four faces. Those four faces represent the different kinds of creatures, wild animals, flying animals. And that tradition morphed into seeing the four Gospels as represented by four animals. So the Gospel of Matthew is represented as the man, the Gospel of Luke as an ox, the Gospel of John as an eagle, and the Gospel of Mark as a lion. And, you know, a lion is clearly a powerful wild animal. Maybe you could say the king of the undomesticated animals. And in that sense, I think it's sort of fitting for Mark because there is a kind of a wildness, an excitement to the Gospel of Mark. So just a few preliminary marks on the Gospel. First of all, it's the earliest. Most scholars for a long time have believed it was the first one, that it was recorded very early on, that it was recorded by Mark, but represents primarily Peter's perspective. In other words, perhaps Mark interviewed Peter, knew Peter, and recorded Peter's memories and insights into the Gospel. Second, it is this really fast-paced, terse Gospel. And that doesn't mean it's not insightful and powerful and well-crafted, but it really does move with excitement. This word, immediately, is used more time, almost four times in this short Gospel, four times more than all the other Gospels. Immediately this happened, and immediately that happened, and immediately that happened. So there's this fast-paced nature to it that I think is worth noticing and paying attention to. Many people think that this Gospel was memorized verbatim. In other words, the whole Gospel memorized line by line, and that this was a very effective way of discipling people. Remember, the culture before books, the culture before the era of the printing press, was an oral culture, and many people memorized vast amounts of material. And it's thought that one of the primary ways that discipleship was done in the circles that this Gospel traveled was that people just memorized the whole thing in its entirety. For all of this, that it's short, that it's early, that it's exciting, I want to emphasize that it's not simple. In other words, it's not simplistic. At one level, it's great. It's just this story of Jesus. But at another level, there's a lot of craft. There's a lot of ingenuity in some of the accounts. So let me give one example. In one example, scholars call it, it's a funny term, sandwiches, Markan sandwiches, okay? And one example is when Jesus goes to Jerusalem, he curses a fig tree, and then he goes to the temple and cleanses the temple, and then he comes back out, and his disciples see that the fig tree is dried up. What's going on here? Well, it's a sandwich, right? On both ends, you have this episode of the fig tree, and in the middle, in the meat part, you have the temple cleansing. The point is that Mark uses this pattern all through the gospel, where the two things on either side are commenting on the thing in the middle. In other words, the temple is the fig tree, and the Lord of the temple is coming to see if it's bearing fruit, and it's not, so he's cursing it. So pay attention to that pattern, because you'll see it repeatedly all through the gospel. Another example of the art of this gospel, it's one of my favorite examples, in the central chapters, chapters 8 through 10, we get this one-way journey from the furthest northern part of Israel, Caesarea Philippi, where there is the disciples make a declaration of understanding who Jesus is, at least in part. It starts in Caesarea Philippi and goes all the way to Jericho. So it's this long, almost 70-mile journey on foot. And it is framed beginning and end, or bookended beginning and end, by the healing of blind men. In the beginning, a man is healed of blindness in a very strange way, where the man is, first Jesus performs an act, and it says that the man could see men as it were trees walking. In other words, he's halfway got his sight. And then at the end, there's an instantaneous healing of a blind person. Why did Jesus do this? Why does Mark record this way? Most people believe that the partial healing is a comment on the disciples. They get who Jesus is, they're following him, but as they travel with Jesus and he makes three predictions of the coming cross, the disciples immediately after those three predictions do something selfish and cross-avoiding. So you see what's going on? Mark is saying that the disciples are like that man healed partially. They see Jesus sort of as a man, a tree walking, but they don't really understand him. They don't understand the cross. And it takes Jesus uncovering or softening the hardness of their heart and fully unveiling their blindness to be able to see that. So Mark structures this central section in a very deliberate way that it takes a little bit of effort to notice, but when you begin to notice it, you begin to pay attention to those structural patterns. So I think that's a really neat thing to understand about what Mark's doing. He's not just a simplistic writer. One more comment on the blindness. What is the blindness? I think Mark wants to tell us that the blindness that the disciples suffer is twofold. Again, it's not just a physical blindness. First, they see Jesus, but they don't see Jesus. So they know Jesus is awesome, they know he's great, they think he's the Messiah, but they have no idea that the Messiah is coming to die. But then the other thing that they don't see is themselves. They don't see what's in their heart. And all through the Gospel of Mark, especially in that central section, Mark is, or Jesus is, allowing the disciples to see what comes out of their hearts and then calling them to repentance when it's ugly what comes out of their hearts. So they don't know who Jesus is, they don't know who they are, and Jesus wants to help them see both so that they can walk in the way of life. So ultimately, I would call Mark the discipleship gospel. All the gospels are about discipleship, but in Mark, in particular, Mark wants to emphasize who Jesus is and what it means to follow him and what it means for who we are and coming to see who we are. And in the process of discipleship, it's essential to do both. See who Jesus is and see who we are. And it takes Jesus' help in order to do both. So I'm really excited about this next period of time through the summer as we go through the Gospel of Mark.